Let's begin with the word of prayer. And the purpose of this prayer, the purpose of the prayer is not a ritual prayer. It's a very serious and important prayer. Test yourself to see if you're in the power of the Holy Spirit, if you're trusting in the Holy Spirit. He is a true teacher. How are you filled with the Spirit? By faith, just like you're saved. So God sent His Son for salvation. God sent His Spirit for spirituality. So let's test ourselves in a word of prayer and then move on to a wonderful morning of worship. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for the freedom we have in this country to assemble ourselves for the purpose of studying Your Word as we're led by the Holy Spirit without any fear of intervention at this point. And Father, it is a privilege to use this freedom in this way, to assemble with others who are like-minded for the purpose of worshiping You. Father, we pray now that all that we do that will be glorifying to Your Son. In His precious name we pray. Amen.
John Hardy has passed out a paper piece. It has music and words. That's the chorus of the song I'm fixing to sing right now. And I like it so much that I thought you'd probably want to sing along with the chorus, even though I'm not singing the same notes that are written there. But you can sing the same notes. Close notes. Yeah, it's pretty good, much go together. But this is a song that Wes and I really haven't prepared real well, but I've listened to it several times, and I really like it. So I hope that it certainly has great words. And that's the chorus. You don't have to sing through the first time if you don't want to, but we're going to sing it two or three times. The verse. On the mountain, and you've got peace of mind like you've never known. But things change when you're down in the valley. Don't lose faith. You're never alone, for the God of the mountain is the God in the valley. When things go wrong, He'll make them right. And the God of the good times is still God in the bad times, the God of the day is still God of the night. The God of the day is still God of the way up on the mountain, talk comes so easy when life's at its best. Now down in the valleys of trials and temptation, that's where you're really put to the test. For the God of the mountain is the God of the valley. When things go wrong, He'll make it right. And the God of the good times is the God in the valley. God in the night, the God of
First of all, last Sunday evening, if you're not able to make any of the youth dinners, you missed it. It was fabulous. Let's see, Larry's not here, so give us a report.
It was a great event. I think the kids enjoyed it. I think everybody who was there enjoyed it. We made a significant amount of money for this camp and the fundraiser, which was the reason we were having.
Yeah.
The kids got to participate. So, overall, it was awesome. I really wanted to, they're not here, but Mackenzie and Blake, but Mackenzie's here all the time. So
yeah.
She did a phenomenal job at speaking about camp, and I had a good chance to see her tell her how great she did.
So, yes, I just thought the whole thing was super.
Yeah.
And did the second one go as good as the first?
I was a disaster, but... No.
it
was great. It was great.
Good. Did we raise a nice income?
Yeah, we cleared. I think we cleared $3,900, almost $4,500.
Wow, very good, very good. Okay, now have you heard any water reports?
So I haven't heard, but I've been watching on the Texoma has a lake level.
Yeah.
And literally, I got the text with the picture that showed it right up to the girl's back door. And that day was when it stopped raining and it started coming back down. So I don't have any reports that there's any damage in the cabins at all, and the water's starting to come back down. So.
Good. All right.
It's a foot down.
It's a foot down.
Yeah,
which
so it was 8 inches.
It was 8 inches at one point. Oh, that's where it crested. But it was literally, it was that far from the back door of the girl's cabin.
Wow.
So, and that's when it turned and started coming back down.
But the boys' cabin was safe.
Well, we might have to swim. Yes, the boys' cabin.
Good. Right. Let's see. First of all, a lot of you know Gerald Weber. Gerald Weber, we're glad to have you here this morning and see you after class. And how many of you are familiar with Grace Notes? Any of you? You're familiar? Anybody? Okay. The man in charge of Grace Notes is where you go on the computer. And is here Lewis, Ralph? Ralph, kind of tell them what Grace Notes are about.
Grace Notes is an online
Bible. So we can see him.
Yeah. What did you do if you all have your cell phones handy? Go to www.gracenotes.com. You'll see our new Android and, you know, right now Google is how I put this. They work against you if you don't have a small device ready website. So we've done that. So people can go online, study our lessons, and basically our authors are people like Dan Hill.
Put this on it for you.
Yeah. This is a self-paced faith-based Bible study. It's from teachers from churches like this one and ours down in Austin Bible. In fact, it is one of our ministries. One of our in Africa, we're very popular because free. They like free. You can't pay for anything on the website. There's nothing to buy, which is consistent with the way our churches are. So who uses our stuff? But we have a pretty good prison ministry in California, and basically we just email people back and forth to do the lessons, send it in. We go book by book. We've got 50 plus books now covered. Just that other guy, you know, didn't move around. I'm trying to remember the guy's name. There's another
Mark
Perkins out of Colorado. So I learned a lot. A lot of people who don't have the opportunity to go to churches like in Africa, they end up learning from that. I did learn stuff I've never actually heard before. And that's what it's all about.
Okay.
So,
didn't you say Basel is translating into Urdu?
Yeah, we have two translation projects. One actually, I don't want to say too much time in Urdu, but he's going to be doing that sometime this year.
Awesome.
It'll take years to do this time.
Yeah. Ron, you want to corner him during the break. He's in charge of Grace Notes on the internet, and man, he knows all that stuff that you do and all that. Y'all can share notes. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. GraceNotes.info?
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, don't go there unless you want to
buy
many times.
GraceNotes.info. You have enough of these cars to put some out in the back?
I sure did.
Yes.
Put it out in the back so people can pick them up on their way out. That'll be good. Okay. Now let's talk about a few things. How's Thomas?
He's doing well. He's not with us today, obviously, but his biopsy went well. He's still got some swelling.
Tell us, give me the report, would.
Well, Tuesday we go back, and they take that long to get it back from pathology, and then we'll go over what the results are and how they're going to remove this thing.
But right now, it does not look bad. We don't know.
We don't know.
Okay, so you need to continue following that way.
Yeah, just still pray that it's non-aggressive and easily to remove without doing any of the damage.
They already know the
No, they don't. That's what we're finding out Tuesday. She felt like it was. She said from the looks of this tumor, it does not look cancerous.
Good.
Just from her experience.
Good.
But until she gets the pathology report, you really don't know.
Did Ashley and Travis have a nice visit?
They did. We had an awesome time with Thomas's phone and our donor. I mean, we left. Like she said, she came as strangers and we left being family.
Yeah.
Pure love.
It
was pure love, everybody.
Wonderful people. I was just disappointed that he wasn't related to Travis of Texas history, but that's the way that goes. Can't have everything. Okay, let's see. What other? Yes.
Mackenzie Wednesday.
All right, Mackenzie has her surgery Wednesday. Do you know what time?
They're going to be at the hospital at 6:45, and it'll be an all-day procedure. My asking for prayer is that it goes. They find the anomaly quickly and repair it. And not spend all day forcing Looking. Your body to be in.
Yeah. Do you know what time they start?
Probably 8. I mean, that one, right.
Okay.
The big children.
All right. Please give prayer for Mackenzie Wise as she goes into surgery Wednesday. And I tell you what, the best that the report can be, we can put it on the internet Wednesday night so everybody doesn't have to call. We'll put on the internet Wednesday night. The status of Mackenzie's surgery.
Yeah,
okay?
They'll be there all night, so I don't know. Hopefully, we'll know at the end of the day.
Children's play over children's
play. Downtown. By far.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Now, any other prayer requests that I'm not aware of? Yes.
Jerry's brother-in-law, his mom died. They're having service today, so we can
just
pray for
sudden
or?
No, she had Alzheimer's.
Okay. That would be prayer for the family. Absolutely. Any other prayer requests? Yes.
For our cigar church.
Good.
We got about 6 to 8 solid members. We had only 6 yesterday. But you enjoy this. We were there for over 2 hours.
Wow.
So
just talking about the
back. these guys yesterday were literally admitting, I don't want to miss this time every other Saturday morning.
Beautiful.
Because they are National Guard.
Beautiful. That's great.
And it's fun. And I love it too.
So, I hope that doesn't rub anybody wrong that you're going to pray for the cigar church. Rob, what this is a bunch of guys who would not go to church. They meet on Saturday morning and smoke cigars and talk about the Bible, and we've got one of our guys in there. We snuck him in there. See?
He got that guy came on the preacher number on Saturday night.
Yeah. Scott. Yeah. 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 I'm not teaching another word until those phones are ringing. Y'all are supposed to pay if I'm teaching you something worth your hearing, so I'm just going to sit down. And he did. And he was straight on the gospel. He was straight on the gospel. He was straight on eschatology. I understand that his wife is a good teacher, knows about she knows Hebrew, Aramaic, Greek, and about three other languages. And so, anyway, any other, just that has nothing to do with it. Now, any other prayer requests? All right, when is camp?
July 26th, the staff goes up, and 27th to the 31st of July.
27th to the 31st, please be in prayer for the young people. You see the reports, hear about young people, don't mock them. Pray for these. Don't worry about the bad ones. Pray for the ones that we might have an impact, teaching them the truth at camp. So please start praying right now that God the Holy Spirit will start preparing their souls, the souls of the teachers, the staff, everyone, that it'll be a dynamic week as far as their spiritual life is concerned, and no injuries. Yes?
Herman, I, at this point, when you're talking about the kids, I have to share that we took a couple to the dinner Sunday with us that had nothing to do with the church. There was just somebody I knew.
They were just hungry. Okay.
And I just said, let's go out to dinner. This is, we're obligated to do this, and this is all the time I have to give you, so let's go. You know. And we left there. He was so impressed with the fact he has no children that are at home, and he was like, oh, kids are, you know, they're mean, they're terrible, they're doing this. He was so turned around. He said, I cannot believe there are children in this world that are standing there praising the Lord. He was so impressed. And
so there, Chris. Hey, this is great. That's super.
Yeah, so I wanted to share that.
Thank you very much. Go hide those things from us. Those are very good. Are there any other prayer requests that I'm not aware of? The word of God declares whatsoever man giveth to the soul, not compulsion, geometry, necessity, but by his grace given to him from God. People, the offertory is not buying off God. He's not a sugar daddy. You do for him, he'll do for you. That's not God. What's your view of God? What's your view of God in regard to giving? People, it is a privilege. It is a joy to give as unto the Lord. It is a joy to have a part of the spreading of the Word of God. Money that you can use in your material world, you put in the invisible, the spiritual, the eternal world. But these things are mad. Let us prepare ourselves for the offertory by prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you in the way that you're using this humble assembly. So many ways you let us get the word out, the gospel. Right here in our own assembly, the internet, our young people, missionaries, and each of the believers here telling others about Christ. Father, we pray now that you receive the offerings that we're about to give, and that you will continue to use them. Use this assembly to spread the word of God. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. Okay, if you open the Word of God to the book of Joshua. Joshua. Breaking our normal flow, Matthew 24 and 25 this morning. I was working on a Wednesday night's class dealing with Joseph of Arimathea, which took me to Joshua chapter 1, which means I have to sit there and just read through Joshua and the whole thing. So this morning is communion. Now, we enter the study of the bread and the cup this morning. And it is so important that this communion, what it reminds you of, this cannot be a ritual without reality. It's got to be a ritual with reality. And there are different ways for me to say this, different ways to understand it. Now, some time ago, we spent Communion Sunday the whole hour on studying something dealing with communion. That's what we're going to do today. One day I want to get back and finish that series, but we'll just spend this morning studying communion from Joshua chapter 9. Now, what the bread and the wine, bread and the wine, bread and wine, what these should remind you of is that we are all condemned to eternal damnation. God is not unfair. Remember, the question is not how can a loving God condemn people that He's created to a lake of fire. That's not the question. The question is how can a perfectly righteous God not send everyone to a lake of fire? That's the question. So we're all under condemnation. Eternal separation from God. That's it. God, out of His holiness, had to condemn every member of the human race. Question. Is everyone going to end up in the lake of fire? No. We know that. Is everyone going to end up separated from God for all eternity? No. Did God condemn everyone to that? Yes. Is everyone going to end up there? No. Question. Why not? What happened? Grace and love. This is the story of wine and bread. It's a memorial to the Messiah. And while the communion supper, the Eucharist, is a church age ritual, the significance is from the Old Testament. The first time wine and bread, or bread and wine, were brought together as a memorial to the Messiah was in with Abraham and Melchizedek. You've got to understand that. If you don't understand that, you've missed the flow in through the Bible. Now, I had you turn to Joshua. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 7. Let's go back a few pages. Deuteronomy chapter 7. Now, this is going to be quick. I'm going to get this done this morning. I don't want to lose you. So what I've said was, everyone is condemned to be separated from God for all eternity. Remember that. Does everyone stay there? No. All right, look at Deuteronomy chapter 7. Now, let's look. God condemns all the Gentiles in the Promised Land to be killed in the land. God condemns all the human race to eternal condemnation. Does God really want all people in the land killed? Is that what God really wants? Does God really want all members of the human race cast away? Is that what God really wants? He says He does. But do all people go to the eternal lake of fire? No. Do all people in the land are slaughtered as Gentiles? No. Are all members of the human race in outer darkness? No. Okay. He does condemn all members of the human race, and he condemns all Gentiles in the land to be condemned. Look at Deuteronomy 7, and let's note verses 1 and 2 to begin with. When the Lord your God shall bring you into the land where you are entering to possess it, and shall clear away many nations before you, the Hittites and the Hittites and the number of them. Verse 2. And I've got to get through this because we're going to cover a lot this morning. And when the Lord your God shall deliver them before you, and you shall defeat them, then you shall utterly destroy them. You shall make no covenant with them and show no favor toward them. Verse 3 and 4. Furthermore, you shall not intermarry with them. You shall not give your daughters to their sons, nor shall you take their daughters for your sons. For they will turn your sons away from following me to serve other gods. Then the anger of the Lord will be kindled against you, and he will quickly destroy you. Okay, got the principle? All the Gentiles in the land are under condemnation. All of them. No exceptions. Don't pick anyone to be married or to marry. Okay. Now, turn to Joshua chapter 9. Joshua chapter 9. Up to this point, chapter 9, Joshua and the army have wiped out a lot of people. But he's going to come and meet the Gibeonites. The whole land of Canaan is under the curse of God. They're to go in and kill all these Gentiles. The Gibeonites see what Israel is doing to everyone, and they decide not to fight, but to try to come and form a treaty with them. You should know at this point, these people, the Gibeonites, they are not cowards. They are fighting people. Look at chapter 10, verses 1 and 2. Now it came about, when, and he mentions these people, King of Jerusalem heard that the Joshua had captured Ai and that had utterly destroyed it, just as he had done to Jericho and its king, so he had done to Ai and the king, and that he and the inhabitants of Gibeon had made peace with Israel and were within their land, that he feared greatly, because, here it is, Gibeon was a great city, like one of the royal cities, and because it was greater than Ai, and all its men were mighty warriors. These are not cowards. Go back to 9-1 now. These are not cowards. But they saw something. Now people, to follow what I'm going to be doing this morning, you've got to fuse a lot of your understanding of the Bible. When Jesus Christ, why did he come? He came for the Jews. He came for the Jews. Gentiles came to him, he told them no. The Jews rejected him. And in John chapter 12, Gentiles came, the two of the disciples, who we think were also Gentiles, and said, we would like to talk to Jesus. They went and told Jesus, and he said, my hour has come. Gentiles are seeking me, Jews are rejecting me. Gentiles, who I did not come for, they're seeking me. Gentiles in the land are damned. They're to be destroyed. But they fear the God of Israel. They fear the God of Joshua. So they want to come and form a covenant. So look at chapter 9, verse 1 of Joshua. Now, it came about when all the kings who were beyond the west of Jordan, in the hill country and in the lowland, and on the coast of the great sea toward Lebanon, the Hittite, the Amorite, Canaanite, Perizzite, Hivite, and Jebusite heard of it. How many is this? 7. That's important numbers. We go through this. Verse 2. And that they gathered together themselves together with one accord to fight against Joshua with Israel. With. Now the King James, there's a vav here in the Hebrew. King James says and, but I like the NIV best. The New American Standard says when. The NIV says however when. And that's very important. History's getting ready to change. However when the inhabitants of Gibeon heard that Joshua had done to Jericho and Ai, killed them all, because they were all under the curse, just as we are. We're all under the curse, you and I. Verse 4. They also acted craftily. That's secreting. That's a mystery. Now, people, you know, I do not believe the church is in the Old Testament. I do not believe in replacement theology. But this is looking forward, a type of what's going to happen. So let's take a look at what we have happening. What is the church today? It's the mystery. Colossians chapter 1. Alright, now, let's look. Verse 4. They also acted craftily and set out as envoys and took with them. Now I want you to know there are only two things mentioned that are taken. Two things. Wine and bread. Take a look. This is not to be passed by. This is essential. Verse 4. And took worn out sacks on their donkeys and wine skins worn out and torn and mended. And worn out parched sandals on their feet, worn out clothes on themselves, and all the bread of their provision was dry and had become crumbled. Okay, they're misses, wine and bread. God is telling us something. God is setting up a pattern here. Verse 6. And they went to Joshua to camp at Gilgal and said to him, to the men of Israel, we have come from a far country. Now therefore, make a covenant with us. Now, it's a lie. But remember, in Ephesians chapter 3, where God breaks the two into one, he says the Gentiles are from afar, and made one in Christ. They're just simple things, people. There's a strings that just go. As Kent likes to call it, the fabric of Scripture. And it's just fabrics that flow through history. This is one of them. And that word afar, God is going to play on in Ephesians. Okay. Now, verse 6. We have come from a far country. Now, therefore, make a covenant with us. The Gentiles sought Jesus. Jesus didn't seek them. They sought him. He had not come for Gentiles. He had come for the Jews. And when the Gentiles started seeking him, that's the first time in John he says, my hour has come. Over and over. My hour is not coming. They were hiding him around and going to kill him. They wanted to capture him. The Jews, religious crowd. My hour is not come. My hour is not come. My hour is not come. Gentiles come. My hour is come. Okay, see if this is going to flow for you. What is their plan? Israel is destroying all the people. So we will go in and make a covenant with them. If they will make a treaty with us, they will not destroy us. And we will be safe. God has told Joshua, destroy everyone in the land and make no treaties. Make no treaties. What does this sound like? God going to destroy everyone except the Jews. Okay? Verse 7. And the men of Israel said to the Hivites, perhaps you are living within our land. How then shall we make a covenant with you? Hey, we're pretty smart here. How do we know you're not really trying to fool us? What are they living by? They're living by the law. They're living by the law. So they're not going to see the grace that's going on here. They're living by the law. People by the law are dangerous people. And these people want to live by the law. We're safe.
Who's living by the law?
The Israelites. They just said that. How do we know you're not doing this? Okay, verse 8. But they said to Joshua, and this is so beautiful, people, we are your servants. What are we to God? We're his servants. We're his Gentile servants. We're low on the totem pole. Israel is above us. But we're his servants. People, it's just, as we read through this, I don't have time just to make sermons out of everything, but I'll try to point out some of the things that spotlight what's going on in Joshua 9. They have a humble attitude. Then Joshua said to them, who are you and where do you come from? And they said to him, your servants have come. Again, your servants have come from a very far country because of the fame of the Lord your God. You understand that? Because of the story about your God. That's why we've come to you. We've heard about your God. How many people come to you? You have something I don't have. Tell me where you got it. I got it from the gospel. I got it from the Holy Spirit. I got it from the Lord. You're ready to witness. People come to you. When we study the story of Samson, what's the story of Samson? What's your secret, Samson? What's the secret to your strength? People, they ought to be asking you, hey, Christian, what's your secret? How can you forgive 70 times 7? How can you do the things that you do? What's your secret? That's what they ought to be asking us. Unfortunately, too many Christians are not unlike Gentiles. We're just like them. We judge, we malign, we slander, we attack, we bite each other, we devour one another. They don't see a secret. They don't see a mystery. So let's take a look now. Verse 10, and all he did to the two feet with the Lord your God, verse 9, frame of the Lord your God, for we have heard the report of him and all he did in Egypt. Not what you did. I love this. It's what your God did. You've got a God different. You've got a God different than our God. Verse 10, and all he did to the two kings of the Amorites who were beyond the Jordan, to Sihon, king of Heshbon, and Og, king of Bashan, who are in the Ashtaroth. So, having examined all of this, our elders and all the inhabitants of our country spoke to us, take provisions. Now, what are the only two provisions mentioned? Take provisions. What are the only two mentioned? Bread and wine. Don't miss that. In your hand for the journey, and go to meet them and say to them, we are your servants. Now then, make a covenant with us. What covenant are they currently under? They are under the covenant of death. People, we were under the covenant of death. All unbelievers on the earth today are under the covenant of death. Don't miss that. Okay, let's go to verse 12. This, our bread was warm when we took it for our provisions out of our houses. And on that day we left to come to you. And now behold, it, the bread, is dry and has become crumbled. Now note the next thing. And these wineskins, the wine, which we filled with were new. And behold, they are torn. And these are clothes and sandals are worn, but out because we've been on a long journey. So the men of Israel took some of their provisions and did not ask. Here's the problem. They did not ask the Lord. They did not ask the Lord. The Gibeonites fear their God. They do not fear their own God enough to go to him. Okay, so verse 14. So the men of Israel took some of their provisions, did not ask the counsel of the Lord. What provisions did they take? Bread and wine. In that order. What is going to deliver these people, the Gibeonites, the Gentiles? Bread and wine. What delivers you and me? Bread and wine. That's what we're going to be celebrating in a few moments. Bread and wine. That's what delivered us. They are to destroy these people. The Israelites are to destroy them. Then they took the bread and wine. And after tasting the bread and wine, they will make a covenant with them. They are controlled by that sense. Verse 15. Joshua made peace with them and made a covenant. Now, another thing you see flowing through this book, the whole book of Joshua, often he is a type of Jesus Christ. And we studied that many years ago. Joshua is a type of Christ. So, Christ makes peace with us. Joshua made peace with them. And made a covenant. People wanted a covenant relationship with God. We study that. To let them live. They are now under a new covenant. They are now under the covenant of life. They were under the covenant of death. They are now under the covenant of life. Why? Due to the bread and wine. They are now under a new covenant. And the leaders of the congregation of Israel swore an oath to them, making a covenant, and under this covenant, the Gibeonites will live, the Gentiles will live. Now, just stop a moment. Yes, my Lord, let this. Yes. She always asks great questions.
So the
Gibeonites, you what? The Gibeonites were under the new covenant. They were under the covenant of death. But now they've made a covenant, that covenant's going to get to live. It's no longer a covenant of life. You what? Yes. No, but what I'm doing is showing what God is doing in the prophets. I'm not saying that they are all born again believers. But this is a type of what the church and the Gentiles are going to do when Christ comes. That's what we're looking at. Okay. Good. Now.
And wait a second. And Herman, prior to this, Joshua has already smashed two of the other kingdoms.
Yes.
And now he's crossing the Jordan.
Yes.
And there's seven kingdoms arrayed against the Israelites.
Yes.
Okay.
And the Gibeonites are the best fighters among them, and they don't want to fight. Because they fear their Lord. They fear the Lord of the Israelites. Okay. Now, let's see. Who are the Gibeonites? They're not Israel. They're Gentiles. They're like us. They're Gentiles. Just like us. Cast out under an oath. Bread and wine is going to change that. The cross is going to change that. And by bread and by wine, you and I came under a new covenant with God. We came under the covenant of life. Before we were all under the covenant of death, now we're under the covenant of life. Verse 16. Let's move along. And it came about at the end of three days! What does that bring to your mind? The cross! See? 3 days, 3 nights. After they had made a covenant with them, and they heard they were neighbors, as the Jews heard that the Gibeonites were really neighbors, and that they were living within the land. How about that? Just 3 days away. What does that tell us? They're just a cross distance away. That's all they are. Verse 17. Then the sons of Israel set out and came to their cities on the third day. There it is again. People, these are no accidents throughout the whole Word of God. Now, their cities were Gibeon, Chephirah, Kerath, and Kerath Yaim. And the sons of Israel did not strike them, because the leaders of the congregation had sworn to them by the Lord, the God of Israel. And the whole congregation grumbled against the leaders. People, you'll often find those that are dealt with by grace from God are not very gracious to other people. They like to judge. They like to make you crawl. They want you to work while they themselves bask under their grace. Okay. You'll always find it's true, people like that. Verse 19. But all the leaders said to the whole congregation, "We have sworn to them by the Lord. We've made a covenant with them, the God of Israel, and now we cannot touch them." People, if you study Romans 9, 10, and 11, it's a great study on the Israelites' view of Gentiles, God's view of Gentiles. It's the same type of thing. Jews hate Gentiles. Don't want them to be covenant. Don't want them under grace. Don't want them taken forgiven. Don't want them to have life. God said, "I've given them life, just as I've given you the opportunity of life through the gospel." Okay, they're protected now by a new covenant. Now, before 20 and 21, who are the Gibeonites? They're Gentiles. Now, watch. God killed all the people in the land. Did God really mean that? Does God want all the Gibeonites to be killed or to be spared? Does God want all the Gentiles to be condemned, or does He want them to be saved? Verse 20. This we will do to them. This is so beautiful, I hope you don't miss it. Some of you will, I know, but just stay with it. This we will do to them. Even let them live. But lest wrath be upon us for the oath which we swore to them. And the leaders said to them, "Let them live. Let them live." That's what God says about you and me. Let them live. Let the Gentiles who believe in my Son, let them live. And let them live for eternity. In the church age, you're one. And the tribulation, it's going to be back to the age of Israel. But in the church age, we're all one. Alright, verse 21. And the leader said to them, "Let them live." So they became hewers of wood, drawers of water for the whole congregation, just as the leaders had spoken to them. Ooh, that sounds terrible. Look at that. Hewers of wood and drawers of water. Don't you think before I even get there? Wood, water. Wood, water. Okay. Look at verse 22. Then Joshua called to them and spoke to them, saying, "Why have you deceived us, saying, 'We are very far from you,' when you are living within the land?" But why? You want to know why? Because you're going to kill us. That's why. Very simple. Doesn't take a genius to figure that one out. Verse 23. Joshua says to them, "Now, therefore, you are cursed." Oh, that sounds so bad. What was the curse of Cain that everyone, a lot of people like to talk about? We're all under the curse of Cain. Every one of us are under the curse of Cain. You cannot work. You cannot work. You plow the ground, nothing will grow. You cannot work for me. You're going to have to live by grace, Cain. You're going to have to live by faith, Cain. You cannot work. That's your curse. The ground will never produce for you, Cain. People were all under the curse of Cain. None of us can work for God so as to reap salvation. Not a one of us. We're all under that curse. All that we can do is to believe in Jesus Christ by faith alone, in Christ alone, and we have eternal life. Now I want you to look at this curse. Is it really that bad? Okay, take a look at it. "And you shall... and you shall never cease being slaves." I dare do this. Are any of you, have any of you ceased being a slave of Jesus Christ? I don't see a hand up. We're all slaves. We're servants of Christ. That's a wonderful thing. You have never ceased being slaves, both hewers of wood, drawers of water. Now look at the next phrase. "For the house of my God." People, that is an honor. It is an honor to work in the house of God. The temple, the tabernacle, that's an honor. That's not a curse. Keep throwing curses on me if you're going to let me serve you in your house. This is beautiful. Woodcutters, water carriers for the temple. This is a gracious curse, and we all have it on us. We're all slaves of Christ. Now look at this. Woodcutters, water carriers. Stated twice. Don't miss it. It'll come up a third time. That's important. Sounds laborious, doesn't it? But it is better than the alternative. Alternative being dead. Which would you rather do? See? Be a woodcutter, water carrier, or dead? I'll cut wood. I'll draw water. Alright. Now, let's take a look at it. Woodcutters, water carriers. What's the wood symbolic of? The cross of Jesus Christ. The very thing that got them their life. The bread. The thing that got them their life. Woodcutters, the cross. Giving the gospel. Proclaiming the good news. Water, what's that teach them? The Holy Spirit. Carriers of the Holy Spirit. Now, if we transfer this into the church age as being a type of that, what are we? That's what we are. We're proclaimers of the gospel, and we carry the Holy Spirit. Every one of you carry the Holy Spirit, whether you realize it or not. That's why the rapture of the church has to occur. How's God going to remove the Holy Spirit if He doesn't remove every believer from the earth? He's got to. That's the way He's going to remove the Holy Spirit. Remove believers. The rapture. Which we're studying and getting ready to get into in Matthew 25. Okay, so you're a woodcutter, giving the gospel. You're a water carrier, carrier of the Holy Spirit. Now look at verse 24. So they answered Joshua and said, because it was certainly told your servants that the Lord your God had commanded his servant Moses to give you all the land and to destroy all the inhabitants. People, they believe the word of God. The Israelites don't always believe the word of God about getting the land. The Gibeonites believe the word of God. God has promised you all this land. And we believe Him. We've seen what your God did at Ai. We've seen what your God did at Jericho. We believe in your God. Verse 24, continuing. So, they answered Joshua and said, because it was certainly told your servant that the Lord your God had commanded his servant Moses to give you all the land and to destroy all the inhabitants of the land before you. Therefore, we feared greatly for our lives because of you and have done this thing. Now, I don't know, and I don't want to get into personal testimonies. I love listening to people tell me how they came to the gospel. But I can't believe I'm the only one in this room. And I'm not ashamed to admit it. I believed in Jesus Christ because I was scared to death of going to heaven. It was totally fear. It was totally self. I did not want to do that. I feared. He was that big. He could send me to a lake of fire. And I didn't want to go. And I was only 7 years old. All I could fear is I must have been really bad. I must have been really bad. A lot of us believe because we didn't want to go to hell. We didn't want to go to the lake of fire. We feared Him. Okay? So, God was pleased. They did this. So, in the story of Joshua, this sounds bad, but in the deeper realm, in the invisible realm, this is absolutely wonderful. In the bread and wine was a secret. In the bread and wine was a secret. The mystery. The Israelites did not know. What is the New Testament? The church. The church is a mystery. Gentiles don't understand it. Gentiles in the land by a new covenant. Woodcutters, water carriers for the temple. Proclaim the gospel, carry the Holy Spirit. Look at verse 25. And now, behold, we are in your hands. People, to me, I'm in His hands. And I'm safe there. I hope I've done enough teaching. You know you're in His hands, and no one can get you out. That is a beautiful phrase in the Word of God. We're in your hands, Father, and no one can get us out. Do as it seems good and right in your sight to do to us. People, this should be our prayer to God. Do with me what you please, Father. What may be considered good, bad, or whatever, do it to me. do to me according to your plan. By faith, I will accept it. By faith, I will take it the way you do it. So Joshua stands between them and death. Jesus Christ stands between death and life. Joshua, Gibeonites, Gentiles, humble themselves. People, remember the story of Jesus talked to the Canaanite woman? She thought took herself as dog. Remember that study? But even a dog has a right to eat what falls off the master's plate. Christ was moved by that attitude. Moved by it. So people get, it's our attitude. We live in the idolatry of self. You've got to get rid of that self attitude. It's not about me. It's about Jesus Christ. That's what I'm here for. Verse 26. Thus he did to them and delivered them from the hands of the sons of Israel, and they did not kill them. So Joshua saved them from the Israelites. Jesus Christ saves us from the law. Verse 27. But Joshua made them that day hewers of wood, drawers of water. But we now know that's not so bad. For the congregation and for the altar of the Lord to this day, in the place which he had chosen. All right. Stated third time. People, things are over in a one short passage. You got to pay attention. What are they? There's something going on here. Woodcutters, water carriers. You can't pass this up. God is drawing our attention to this. Bread, wine, wood, water. Bread, wine, wood, water. What's he doing? The number three is emphasized over and over. Remember the cross. Remember the cross. There are two parts to God's program, people. Redemption, sanctification. Age of Israel, redemption. Age of the church, sanctification, the water. Okay. I'm going to read for you. I won't make you turn to it. Turn to Isaiah 59. 59:21. Isaiah 59:21. What is the new covenant? And as for me, this is my covenant with them, says the Lord God. My spirit, which is upon you, and my words, which I have put in your mouth, shall not depart from your mouth, nor from the mouth of your offspring, nor from the mouth of your offspring's offspring, says the Lord, from now and forever. Bread and wine. Bread, part one of God's plan, salvation. The wine, part two of God's plan, sanctification by the Holy Spirit in our Christian life. All right. We're not quite through. I'm going to show you something beautiful. Chapter 10 of Joshua. Go back to Joshua 10. I'm going to show you what's going to happen. It's a picture of the church. After making the covenant of life with them, Joshua goes away from them for a long time. Does that sound familiar? Who left the church for a long time? Jesus the Christ. He turned us over to the Holy Spirit. We're under the Holy Spirit's keeping now. Jesus Christ does not touch planet Earth during the period of the church age. He is not here. So Joshua goes away for a long time. And what happens? The Gibeonites are in trouble. They're in trouble now. Joshua made a covenant with them. So what is going to happen if they get into trouble? Joshua has to come back and rescue them. This is beautiful. This is gorgeous. Go now from the Old Testament, age of Israel, or to the church age. We're not the Jews. We believe in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ leaves, and boy, we're in trouble. Satan now aims at all believers in this Jesus. We are in big trouble. Look at chapter 10, verse 1. Now it came about when Adonai Zedek, king of Jerusalem, heard that Joshua had captured Ai and had utterly destroyed it, just as he had done to Jericho and its king. So he had done to Ai and its king, and that the inhabitants of Gibeon had made peace with Israel and were within the land. Gentiles had made peace with Israel. Who do they represent? They represent the God of Israel now. And identified with Israel. Verse 2. That he feared greatly, because Gibeon was a great city, like one of the royal cities, and because it was greater than Ai, and all its men were mighty. Therefore, Adonai Zedek, king of Jerusalem, sent word to Horam, king of Hebron, and to Piram, king of Jarmuth, and to Japhia, king of Lachish, and Dabur, king of Eglon, saying, come up to me, help me, let us attack Gibeon, for it has made peace with Joshua and with the sons of Israel. Do you hear what Satan's saying? Skip those Gentiles. They have made peace with the God of Israel. Not Allah, the God of Israel, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They made peace. We've made peace with him now. We were under a curse. We're now at peace with him. So that's what he wants them to do. All right, verse 2. Then he goes, verse 5. So the five kings of the Amorites, the king of Jerusalem, the king of Hebron, the king of Jarmuth, the king of Lachish, the king of Eglon, gathered together and went up, they with all their armies, camped by Gibeon, and fought against it. This is going to be a picture of church under attack. Church under attack. Verse 6. Then the men of Gibeon sent word to Joshua to the camp of Gilgal, saying, do not abandon your servants. You ever prayed that to God? Don't abandon me now, God. I'm in trouble. We studied the doctrine of deliverance in our first hour. I hope you don't have to. In another way, I hope you do. Hope you reach that point somewhere in your life. Don't abandon me, God. It looks like you've turned away from me. Don't abandon me. So they say, verse 6, do not abandon your servants. Come up quickly. Deliver us. Help us. For all the kings of the Amorites that live in the hill country have assembled against us. Satan's kings have joined forces against us. Satan trying to get rid of us. Verse 7, so Joshua went up to Gilgal. He and all the people of war with him and all the valiant warriors. And the Lord said to Joshua, do not fear them, for I have given them into your hands. Not one of them shall stand before you. Do you see what God did not say? You made a covenant with these people. They're going to go down, and you're going down. That's what he said. The bread and the wine have saved them. The bread and the wine put them under covenant of life. And God said, I honor that. People, you never have to fear in the Christian life. I don't care what happens. Verse 9. So Joshua came upon them suddenly by marching all night from Gilgal, an all night march. After all night march, they made a surprise attack suddenly. What does that remind you of? That's the Matthew 24. How's Christ going to come in the tribulation period? Suddenly. Suddenly. Okay, verse 10. And the Lord confounded them before Israel, and he slew them with a great slaughter at Gibeon, and pursued them by the way of the ascent to Beth Horon. All of these words are important. I don't have time to teach all of that. And struck them as far as Akkah and Makkah. And it came about, as they fled from before Israel, while they were in descent of Beth Horon, that the Lord threw large stones from heaven on them as far as Akkah, and they died. There were more who died from the hailstones than from the sons of Israel, killing them with the sword. God saving them. God is delivering these Gibeonites. We put under a curse. We put them under the curse of death. But because of bread and wine, they came under the covenant. And God. Verse 12. Then Joshua spoke to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the sons of Israel, and said in the sight of Israel, O sun, stand still. Now this is worth 2 or 3 hours right here, but we don't have 2 or 3 hours. O sun, stand still at Gibeon. And what does Gibeon represent? In our study about the type, the church. Okay. And O moon in the valley of Zalon. So the sun stood still and the moon stopped until the nation avenged themselves of their enemies. Is it not written in the book of Jasar? And the sun stopped in the middle of the day and did not hasten to go down for about a whole day. And there was no day like that before or after it, when the Lord listened to the voice of a man, Joshua. Whose voice did God listen to? Jesus Christ. Send them the Holy Spirit. First thing he did when he got to the top side, after his ascension and session, send them the Spirit. I cannot help but believe, if I'd have been Jesus, I'd have said, Father, you cannot believe them. They're all nuts. They are the worst bunch of things you've ever seen. No? Send them the Spirit. Okay. Verse 14, there was no day like that before or after it when the Lord listened to the voice of a man. So the Lord fought for Israel. Then Joshua and all Israel with him returned to the camp of Gilgal. Okay, so what have we seen here? Here are people, Gentiles, under a curse of death. We're all under the curse of death. How did they come to God? Bread and wine. 3 times. Bread and wine. In that order. That's how they were saved. And people, as you take communion, I want this to be in your thoughts. This is how I'm saved. Because of this bread. This bread represents what Christ did for me on the cross. The bread represents how God became man that he might deliver me. I'm under a curse. See, you have to understand that. I'm under a curse. We're all under this curse. But because of the bread and what happened on the cross, I am saved forever. So we will go into our communion in just a moment. James is going to sing a communion song. Please listen. He wrote it. So let's listen to it.
I wrote it while under the ministry of Herman Maddox. But you know what? I was going to write the song and list the 1,000 things I did to atone for my sins. I couldn't think of any. Then I remembered communion is about remembering his provision. We've got victory over sin because of his provision. That's what the song is about. Last time I sang it with you.
Here we stand before the table of your loving sacrifice. Our debt of sin demanded payment. Then you came and you paid the price. Now as we break this bread together, as we see your sacrifice, as we drink this drink of forever, we know your love has paid the price. Thank you, Lord, you have provided. Your provision is complete, and by grace your faith accepted. At Calvary's cross we are complete. Oh dear Lord, as we remember your provisions free, we can walk within your promise, and now we've victory over sin. a mighty victory. Thank you, Lord, your grace abounds. As your love revives us power, forever let our praise resound. Thank you, Lord, you have provided. Your provision is complete, and by faith your grace accepted. At Calvary's cross we are complete. At Calvary's cross we are all complete.
That was beautiful. Let's assemble ourselves, get ready for our communion now. It is our custom that we pass the bread, everyone, hold the bread until everyone's been served, and we take communion with them, take communion together. We do not teach, the Bible does not teach, post-communion. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, we welcome you to join with us in the celebration of the person and work of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the work of Christ on the cross. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that we have moved from the covenant of death to the covenant of life provided by this bread. Pray now, Father, that this reality will be in our souls as we partake of this food. In Christ's name. Bread that you hold in your hand represents God becoming man, taking our place on the cross, and delivering us from the curse of death to the covenant of life. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 11, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus in the night, darkness, time of Satan, in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks," he's given thanks for his own death on the cross, identified with your sins and mine. "And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, This is my body which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Heavenly Father, if this were a debt, we could never repay it. But we're not under a debt. And Father, we just praise you and your Son for setting us free. We were under death, but now we are under eternal life. And there's our joy and our peace. We praise you, Father, in Christ's name. Amen. It is our custom that everyone hold a cup till everyone's been served, that we might take communion together as we take communion with him. Please stand. The cup that we hold in our hand is the concept of a second salvation, second deliverance. Lewis Berry Chafer, in his book, He That Is Spiritual, chapter 7, is well documented that salvation one, eternal life in Jesus Christ by faith alone, was patterned for our spiritual life, faith in the Holy Spirit by faith alone. So the wine represents our spiritual life. When Jesus Christ told the disciples he's going to leave, they said, well, what's going to happen to us? When you went to Galilee, we followed you to Galilee. When you went to Jerusalem, even though Doubting Thomas didn't want to, we followed you to Jerusalem. When you went to Canaan, we followed you to Canaan. If you're leaving, how are we going to know how to live? How are we going to know where to go? How are we going to know how to think? And Christ said, I'm going to send you another one, just like me, except not human. He is spirit. That's what the new covenant is. The new covenant is the covenant of the Holy Spirit. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 11, in the same manner, Jesus Christ took the cup after supper. The Passover is over. The bread is for everyone. The bread is for everyone. Salvation is for all people. The cup is for our unique people, in the church, called the Christians of the church. So, after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. Father, what an awesome God you are. You not only saved us for all eternity, but you provided for us each day of our life here. We stand amazed. It is our privilege to be your servant, to be your slave, to carry the wood of the gospel to the world, to carry the Holy Spirit. And Father, we pray now that your Spirit will take the things that we've learned this morning, have them settle in our souls, become a reality in our lives. And Father, we pray now that you'll bless the food that we're about to eat and our fellowship together to your eternal glory. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Just a moment. Lewis, what's your wife's name? All right. I'm sorry. So the rest of you, at the break, at our dinner, you can meet and talk with him. You can call him, Gerald Weber, and ask him what's going on in Peru or wherever else he's going. But let's eat together and have some fellowship. Even if you didn't bring anything, that'll be enough.